Would you turn with me in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 10? Beginning at verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. And I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. We will be looking at this passage more in depth as we come towards our Easter celebration, but this morning I want to focus on one particular aspect of this, and that is that God is still speaking to us today. One of the dilemmas that we do face in life, especially when it comes to major decisions, is, you know, God, what is it that you really want me to do in this situation? Decisions are something that we are always faced with. Some decisions are seem like very obvious. Others are some very life, large, you know, impacting decisions. And the question is, does God still speak to us today? Now, I don't know about you, but I've often wished that God would do something like he did in the Old Testament. Have you ever just wondered, God, you know, God, you used to do these things, you know, why couldn't you show up, you know, right in front of me and speak to me audibly? And, you know, why can't I experience what Moses experienced, or, you know, what so many of the prophets of God, and how they heard so direct from God? Imagine how glorious it must have been, you know, to hear the voice of God. Elijah heard the still, small voice of God in the cave. Samuel heard God speak to him when he was just a little boy. Imagine all the way back to Adam, the very first man walking in the garden and listening to the voice of God. And I think to myself, well, God, since you spoke to so many in the past, why can't I have that conversation with you now? And have you ever kind of wished for that? This passage describes Jesus as the shepherd who will speak to us and who will lead us. Verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And that is my first point this morning. Jesus wants for you and I to know him as the good shepherd. It is important that Jesus didn't just say shepherd, but he describes himself as the good shepherd. Have you ever felt like God wasn't leading you, or that God was uninvolved, or maybe, you know, passive in some area of your life that was important to you, and you feel like God was not really engaged in that aspect of your life? Maybe it has been an important decision and it seemed like God was not there. He was not, you know, it's like you're seeking answers and you're looking to God and you want to hear from him. It's like, God, I'm just not hearing from you on this. Or you're going through a crisis and you begin to question God. God, where are you in this crisis? Jesus, in describing himself as the good shepherd, he is conveying that he will lead us, that he will guide us, and that he cares. That is what a good shepherd does. You recall a few weeks ago, we read about how we can cast all of our cares upon the Lord, for he does care for us. It is an invitation to the believer. Take the cares, cast the cares upon the Lord. A good shepherd is the shepherd that takes care of his sheep. He leads and he guides and he cares. I personally find this very comforting. I need these types of words. I need this assurance in my personal life, as you do, to know that God cares for me personally, that God is engaged in my life, that he loves me immensely. And there are many references in the Bible that portray God as the shepherd. One of my favorites is Isaiah 40, verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. And he will gather the lambs in his arm, and he will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. I think that is, it must be one of the most intimate passages in the entire Bible, because I can visualize it. And I can see that love of God just carrying the sheep and loving and embracing, and that's how he is with us. He's the good shepherd. But secondly, Jesus is describing you and I, and maybe this isn't quite as attractive to you, but he is describing us as the sheep. Now, I was never a shepherd, but I did grow up in sheep country, and we had a neighbor. He was not such a good shepherd. And he had a lot of sheep, this particular neighbor. And for whatever reason, those sheep were always coming over into our land. And my father did not really like that. And so he conveyed upon my young mind that was not a good thing when your neighbor's sheep are coming. And so, you know, we did our best to chase the sheep off. And that's when I discovered that sheep are very stupid creatures. The cows, at least, will follow a trail. You can herd the cows. But when you come upon a band of sheep on horseback, what they do is they all start going in a bunch of different directions. And it's like, man, I can never round these things up. Because that's how sheep behave. And I would get so angry with those sheep. And I would think, these sheep are so stupid. And I come to a passage like this, and it says that I am a sheep. Now, Philip Keller wrote a well-known book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. Some of you have read that book, and he says, sheep need a shepherd. And he points out that sheep cannot just take care of themselves. They need a shepherd who knows every inch of the land, every pitfall, every hideout where predatory creatures hide as they wait for the unsuspecting sheep. And he compares their intelligence and their knowledge to the shepherds, and then he draws the parallel between our limited abilities and God's divine intelligence. He refers to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, and all we, like sheep, have gone astray. And we have turned every one into his own way. The Bible makes it clear that we are desperate sheep, and we do need a shepherd. I think that one of the great privileges that we have in life is the opportunity for education. Now, had you asked me that question, you never would have heard me say that back in high school, okay? I'll admit that. I would have said, you know, this has got to be one of the great curses of life. It's high school. That's how I felt about school at that time. But later in life, I discovered that I actually do love education. And in fact, to this day, I'm a consummate learner. I mean, I'm always learning. I don't know that there's a day that goes by where I'm not seeking answers and learning something, because I just love to learn. But regardless of how much you and I learn, at some point we do need to surrender our intelligence to the intelligence of God. And that's not always easy to do. Passages such as this, they do help us to understand the disparity between our knowledge, our intelligence, and the divine intelligence of God. Sheep are not known to be intelligent creatures. In fact, they do behave in very stupid ways. It may offend some to be compared to a sheep. However, it is a right comparison. It is common to man to behave in ways that are foolish at times, regardless of our level of education. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. There are no exceptions. There is nobody that does not fit within this category of sheep, those who have gone astray. The problem is that our knowledge, regardless of how educated we are, how much schooling we have, how much reading we have done, our knowledge is still skewed by the impulses of the flesh that lead us astray in wrong directions if left up to ourselves. Just like those stupid sheep gone astray. I consider Adam just for a moment, the first man. I do believe, and you would probably share this with me, that Adam was probably the most intelligent man who has ever lived. He was created in perfection. That would indicate that his mind was a perfect mind. And so it was with Eve. But apparently, humanity was created with a capacity to go astray like a sheep. And so sometimes people look at that and they say, well, you know, was humanity, because, you know, there was the fall and because they gave in to temptation, were they created in some manner, in some, you know, stupid? Absolutely not. The most intelligent of all of God's creation, Adam and Eve, what happened? They fell. They strayed. And it goes to demonstrate that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. So God created humanity with a need to be under the care of the Good Shepherd, because all we, like sheep. My third point is that the shepherd knows the sheep. Jesus said in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. I've often thought that one of the greatest of all privileges as a human is to be able to say that I'm known by God. And you share that privilege with me. Do you ever consider what an honor that is to be known by God? That God knows you intimately. You know, we all understand what it means to drop names, don't we? When we know somebody that is, you know, everybody looks up to, you know, that is so important, you know, and everybody's like, oh, wow, you know, they're a celebrity. Okay, so let's say it's Taylor Swift, all right, since she's been in the news so much. If Taylor Swift happened to come, you know, to your house and to visit you, tell me who wouldn't know about it. A celebrity knows me. And you just go, wow, this celebrity that everybody knows me. And so you go and you tell everybody about it. But do you know that to be known by God, to be known by the Lord, he says he knows you. The one who created you, the one who made all of this, he knows you. He knows you not just, he knows you actually better than you know yourself. How many of you know the number of hairs on your head right now? Did you wake up and did you happen to count the number of hairs on your head? Now, for some of you, it's easier than others. But the question is, do you know? And yet the Bible says that he knows the very hairs. They are all numbered, Matthew 10, verse 30. You say, but I don't have very many hairs. There's not very many up there. So, well, then you take Micah 1:16, that he enlarges your baldness like the eagle. I mean, still, it's God. You say, well, my hair is going gray. It's falling out. Well, even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. At all stages, at all ages, God is caring for us, and that he knows us intimately and more than we know ourselves. The psalmist wrote, "The Lord knows the thoughts of man," and that can be a great thing and that can be an embarrassment, that he even knows my thoughts. Jesus said, "I know my sheep," and that means that he knows us intimately, everything about us. And it brings peace to my soul to know that I am known by the Good Shepherd, and even if it is to be known as a stupid sheep, I'm known by him. Look with me next at what Jesus said in verse 3. Actually, we're going back here just a little bit, but it says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." And so the fourth point is that the sheep hear the shepherd. Jesus said, "I am known by my own." Now in that day, sheep would be gathered into the sheep pen at night for protection. The sheep would go in through this single door. There was no gate, but the shepherd would lay down in the door. That was the sheep gate, and he would protect the sheep personally. And in the morning, the shepherd would call the sheep out, and the sheep would hear his voice, and they would follow him. But they would only respond to the voice of that shepherd. Now that is true not just for sheep. That is also true for other animals. I mean, some of you have pets and you have a dog, or the dog just comes to you more than anyone else. Maybe you have a cat and the cat ignores everybody but you. But animals have this peculiarity where they identify with those who they deem to be either master or caretaker, or the one who loves them and cares for them. The sheep are no exception. They heard the voice of the shepherd and they know him. Now, here's where sometimes we struggle, because you say, "Well, I know God knows me. I know that he knows everything. But, I got to say, I don't hear his voice." I have on occasion, I've heard people say, "Well, I heard an audible voice." I'm not saying that you can't hear an audible voice. God could speak in an audible voice. I haven't personally heard that. I've been walking with the Lord for, 55 or so years. I have not heard an audible voice. But I can absolutely guarantee you that right within here, there is the audible voice of the Holy Spirit who does speak to us. We have the Word of God. He has spoken to us through his Word. I have been spoken to by others who have come and who have shared something that the Lord shared with them and said, "I think that God wants me to share this with you." The Lord speaks. But to be frank about it, God usually doesn't speak in the way that I wished he would. We want instant communication. Communication with God, I'll tell you, it is not always instant. The problem with the communication between myself and God usually has nothing to do with God not speaking, but I have discovered the real problem. Usually it's, am I in a place where I'm actually listening and where I am hearing and where I am sensitive to the leading of the Lord? As the Good Shepherd, Jesus will often wish to speak to us, and the question comes down to this: am I in the place where I hear the voice of the shepherd? I think it's safe to say that not only do we live in the world of instant communication, but we live in a world filled with noise. Now, much of that noise, let's agree, much of the noise is of our own making. Isn't that true? But we do live in this world filled with noise. I believe the greatest modern distraction, and I hope I don't get tomatoes thrown up here. Nobody has brought any avocados or tomatoes, hopefully, this morning. But I'm going to, you know, I think the most greatest distraction that has ever been invented, I think it's a cell phone. I really think it is the cell phone. I just came home from an extended trip. We went out together to eat as a family, and somewhere during the meal, I looked around the table and nobody had a cell phone out, and I brought it up. I said, this is wonderful, because everywhere I go, everyone is just on their cell phone constantly. And here we are, we're sitting at the table and nobody's on a cell phone. What do you think they did? Just to poke at me, they all got their, everybody got their cell phones out. This constant distraction. You know, back when our first son, John, he was a teenager, he wanted to stress the importance to his mom and dad as to why he needed a cell phone. He said, Dad, he said, a person without a cell phone, that's like a sheriff without a gun. And he didn't get the response that he was expecting. And so he said, Dad, a person without a cell phone is like a preacher without a Bible. He wanted me to understand how desperately he needed the cell phone. We do live in a world of constant distraction, and much of that distraction, it is of our own doing, but it's not that God, it's not that he won't communicate and that he doesn't want to communicate and share with us. I think it's just, you know, are we willing to put it all down, all the distractions, and just get into a place where we're going to listen to him? Now, I don't like these long trips, but there is one thing I like, is there is a lot of time that is undistracted. And it is wonderful, because I do feel like during those quiet times of driving, it's just sometimes the Lord is speaking to me, and because I'm in a quiet place. And he does want to share with us. He wants to communicate his love and his care and his compassion and his understanding. Will we listen to him? Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice. And finally, the sheep, once they've heard the shepherd, they follow him. Verses 4 and 5, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And this verse, it has very deep spiritual implications for us today. The shepherd had the voice that was unique to the sheep. In those days, there could be many shepherds that would actually pin their sheep together, and the sheep would hear the unique voice of their shepherd. And those sheep would follow that voice and none other. There are many ways that God would speak to us today. Certainly he wants to speak to us through his word. He speaks to us, I think, oftentimes. I'll tell you, there's circumstances whereby God has spoken to me in ways that I may not have caught it in the word of God. Sometimes he does use another person in the body of Christ. I love it when it's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But then we are faced with that decision. Am I going to follow? When Jesus saw Simon Peter and Andrew his brother casting their nets at the sea, he said to them, follow me. And they left their nets, they left their livelihood, they left everything, and they followed the Lord. One disciple said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. In other words, this is to be the highest priority of life, is that we follow Jesus. Jesus saw a tax collector, a man named Matthew, sitting at the tax office, and he said, follow me. He arose and he followed Jesus. And Jesus is still speaking to us today, and he's saying, follow me. I've discovered there is a hindrance to that. You may already know where I'm going with this, but Jesus, he identified what the hindrance is to following him. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, Verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, if anyone desires to follow me, what is it that he must first do? It says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And this is the great hindrance of hearing and following. It is identified by Jesus himself, who said, you know what it is? It's the self-life. It is the self-interest. It is the self-focus. It is the unwillingness to pick up the cross. It is the unwillingness to actually do something. It's one thing to hear it. It's one thing to even quote it, but it is another thing to actually follow through and to do and to follow Jesus when he calls you. And Jesus is calling us to follow him. He does speak to us. He leads us. But are we in a place where we can listen and we can hear from him? And then are we willing to lay it all down and to follow him? That's the word of the Lord to you and I this morning from his words to us. And Father in heaven, we thank you for sharing through your word this morning, Lord, what you would say to your people about just hearing and following and doing. And Lord, I'm so thankful for your word to us that encourages us and brings comfort, that there is just this loving, caring shepherd who would carry us in his arms and will lead us. And oh, the things we take upon ourselves that we could leave with you. So bring comfort, Lord, to those who have come this morning and to those who are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've got to share this with you. I did go to church on Sunday. I went to a church. I won't say which one. It was a Calvary Chapel. But during the service, and it was one of those services where you started to hear things that you just like, I feel like I need to get up and walk away. You know, but in one instance, the pastor was swaying back and forth as he was talking and was moving around and sharing how, you know, life is, you know, the love of God is like a dance, and God is inviting the whole world to dance with him. And you know, I don't know whether it's just I'm getting old, but I could not connect with that. And I think the reason is because I don't see it like that in the Word of God. I just don't see God as wanting to dance with me necessarily. I mean, if you're a dancer, maybe that makes sense, but somebody else could come along and say, well, you know, God is like a computer, and he's inviting the world to log in. I mean, there's all kinds of illustrations that you could relate to, but you know, we have enough illustrations right in the Word of God that we can use. And to me, this is one of the most beautiful. How can you compare to a shepherd who loves the sheep and just simply wants to carry them in his arms? That goes so much further than a dance or a login or anything else. And that's what God is inviting us to. It's a wonderful surrender into the loving arms of a loving shepherd. Let's stand together. I just have to say, isn't it wonderful to begin a new week with just the realization, the acknowledgement, the Just the reminder of the love of God and the intimate and wonderful care that he has for us. And that he has chosen to exemplify that love and that care as a shepherd who loves his sheep. Me personally, I don't mind if it's an illustration in some ways of stupidity as being a sheep. It's okay. Because my intelligence and your intelligence in comparison to the intelligence which is divine and infinite of God is it's a just comparison. Because the Bible says the foolishness of God is wiser than the greatest wisdom of man. And I'm willing to be carried by that. And I need to be carried by that. That's the shepherd I want. And that's the shepherd we have. And so the Lord bless you and keep you in his love this week and walk in his, just following after him, being in a place where you can hear the voice of the Lord, the voice of the shepherd calling you. In Jesus' name, amen.